just this is going to be kind of short today. We've been kind of going through something I'm really focused on and hoping to write a bit of a little booklet on it. But there is a knowledge that is beyond understanding. There's a knowledge in Christ that you can't have because you read a lot. There's a knowledge that is available in Christ that will only be available to those who are in relationship with Him. There is a communication of Himself through relationship that no amount of intellectual capabilities will help you at all. And so when Jesus, in John 15, when he's sharing with his disciples, he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And so the communication of the vine with the branch is far, it isn't knowledge. It's the very life of the vine flowing into, through the branch, bringing life, power, glory, and a divine enablement for you to bear fruit. So that's probably one of the most important things that took me, unfortunately, 30 years to learn in my own Christian experience, was that the New Testament isn't about having a knowledge of the Scriptures. It's about intimacy with Christ Himself. And in that intimacy, in that place of relationship, He unfolds Himself to you in a way that He doesn't with any other. And so we've mentioned multiple times about the science tells us the DNA. One place I read, it said if they took the DNA of an individual and stretched it out, it would go to the moon and back 22 times. And so that's the thoughts, that's the we're getting into eternal things here, but God has created you, designed you specifically for Himself. And He wants to take us beyond the place of feeling like we're just poor schleps out there drifting in life without a purpose. And sometimes we feel like that, but as the more you come to know God, you're going to come to realize you are a very particular expression and purpose of expression that He has for you. And that's a pretty intense thing. And maybe let's just turn to Jeremiah chapter 1 for a second, because it's pretty powerful. And Jeremiah, God comes to Jeremiah out of the blue as far as he's concerned. And so we'll go to verse 4, and it says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. That's pretty heavy stuff. And part of the dearth of comprehension we have is the church can only be as glorious, the church can only be as bold, the church can only be as powerful as her understanding of her relationship with and in Him. And the greatest thing God has to work through each one of us is the fact that it ain't about you. That's the beauty of this thing, is part of the power of faith. One of the outworkings of faith is to bring you to the place of getting your eyes off of yourself. So God, and that is a tremendous work of God, because if, you know, the true heart is always aware, the true heart is always aware of its own flaws. And in seeing ourselves, we lower our expectations in God. And God goes, I knew you before you were born. The imperfections, the inconsistencies, the things that we tend to write ourselves off in being something powerful and earth-shaking to the world, is because we let the clouds, I mean, think about the size of the sun, just our sun that enlightens the earth, and a little cloud can hide it, right? And God goes, it's not about you. It's not about your imperfections. It's not about the fabric of your being. It's about the glory of God, and that He chose the very medium of humanity, you, to reveal Himself. So let that scripture, what does it say? Jesus said, go ye therefore into all nations. And He didn't say, because you guys have got it all together, I'm now going to send you out. He says, all power is given unto Me. Go ye therefore into all nations. So the foundation and the incomprehensible thing that He's called each of you to is not because of who you are. It's because of who He is. And you look over the span of, you know, each one of you look over the span of your life. There's just times where you throw up your hands and you try to comprehend why God still bothers with us. I mean, I do anyway. That's a pretty common thing. But He loves you eternally, purposely, full of intent, because He is love. He doesn't need reasons. We have reasons to, you know, why we love somebody and someone else we might not love. We have reasons, but God, of course, is bringing us to places where we love those that persecute us. He's bringing us into His heart. And so God in Jeremiah here, He says that before you were born, before you were even conceived, I knew you. And then Jeremiah responds just like you and I. Then I said, ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. I got all kinds of issues. I got all kinds of things that would preclude me being a spokesman for the Most High God. But the Lord said unto me, say not I'm a child. Say not I got issues. Say not that I stammer or I'm not very good with words. I'm not very good at this. I'm not. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. You notice God isn't negotiating with Jeremiah. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the power of the new covenant is as you embrace the depth of the love of God for you, that there is a work of transformation that happens where you begin to feel the love of God in you for the world around you. And the real basis of ministry is not going to Bible school, not getting a bunch of degrees. The real basis of true and powerful, effective ministry is absolutely tied up completely in the love of God being formed in you. Love is the womb of all ministry. And when you feel the movings and the stirrings of the love of God in you for someone else, you're touching the river of God himself. So when Jesus had the multitude sit down to feed him, there's just this little phrase in the scriptures. It says, and Jesus had compassion on the multitude. So there's the trigger that releases the power of God to the feeding of 5,000. Was the compassion of God. Jesus wasn't there going, well, I'll show you how great I am, boys, and start breaking the bread out, taking 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He was moved with the compassion of God. And any time the compassion of God is moving in you, and it might be for encouragement, it might be for edification, it might be a rebuke. It might be to call someone to a deeper walk. The expression is secondary to the motive. And there'll be times when the love of God moves in you, at least in my own experience. It's a part of the process of learning how to temper your expressions. It's part of the process of, you only learn by doing. So whenever there's a stirring of the love of God in you, let it go. Let it flow. Let it motivate you. Let it bring you into the very, right there, you're in the yoke of Christ. And you go, well, I've never done this before. Well, that's what makes it even better. Because the love of God will take you out of your world and bring you into his. The love of God will enlarge the circle, the output, and the flow from you will increase in dynamic, in power. And in all the doing, you grow in wisdom. You can't grow in wisdom without doing. You can't take a book off the shelf and go, oh, I'm going to learn how to minister today. Ain't going to happen. The very cry of Christ within you, he said, I am come that you may have life and life abundantly. He didn't come to bring a teaching. He came to bring himself. He came to bring himself into the very core of your heart. And in my own younger days, I would get very frustrated with the lack of outreach in my own life. And don't go there. Because really, what you want to do is spend time in that intimate place with Christ. You set aside time, and the more you set aside time to spend with Him, the more He pours Himself into you. Jesus said, if you seek me, I'll be found of you. Scripture in the Old Testament says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. And because this whole thing, you know, if I wish I could do better with words myself, but the power of the new covenant is only untapped because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a relationship, not a religion. And that spring, what did Jesus say to the woman at the well? If you would have asked of me for me to give you to drink, you would thirst no more. For literally, if you kind of get the words in the Greek, he says, for if you would have asked of me, I would have been a well, a spring within you. And in the relationship with the river, the outflow of God in your life will ever be the reciprocation of His inflow into you is what determines His outflow through you. And there's nothing more exciting than the life of being a Christian. There's nothing more adventurous. There's nothing more exciting. I don't know how else to put it, because there's no limitations on what God would do through you. You are not a limitation to God. The closer you get to Him, the flow can't be squelched. Jeremiah says later on, I mean, God tells him here, God's very honest. He says, I'm going to send you to a people who aren't going to listen. And then you get, I don't know, somewhere later on in the halfway through the book of Jeremiah, maybe a little toward the end, he says, you deceived me. You didn't tell me how bad they don't want to hear you. But he's got such a relationship with God, he can say that. And God doesn't really respond to him. And then he says in the next couple of verses, but the word of the Lord was such a fire in my heart, I couldn't refrain from speaking. And as you draw near to God, the unfolding of the ministry that He's called you to specifically will be a fire within your being that you're not going to be able to contain. And so, you know, we got a prophet in the Old Testament. He stands up, and I almost think he was Canadian because he was quite sarcastic, because this king had all these false prophets saying, go to war, God's with you, and the guy's got horns, and he's, you know, all these false prophets are telling this king to go to battle. And this prophet says, yeah, go to, and he must have said it in a very sarcastic way. And the king says, this guy never says anything good of me. And he says, and the prophet says, you're going to go, but you're not going to come back. This will be the end of you. And the king says, throw them in jail, and when I come back, I'll deal with them. And they're throwing the guy in jail, and he says, if you come back, then I'm a false prophet. You got to know your God to say those kinds of things. You got to know your God And God has determined for you to have the word of the Lord in your heart and in your mouth. And he's raising up a generation. You are the capstone of a generation that is God is calling to a finished work in the earth. And later on in the book of Revelation, we might even visit that early. I'll show you in the Word what he's purposed for your generation. It's unlike anything that has been before. The book of Acts is the seed church. You are the harvest church. You are the full deal. And if you read Luke, when he's starting the book of Acts, he says, he's writing to this guy named Theophilus, which means lover of God, which is kind of cool in itself. But he's writing to Theophilus, and he says, in my former writing, which is the Gospel of Luke, he said, I wrote unto you all that Jesus began. And God is now drawing to a close that which he has begun. And we're seeing the rise of evil. We're seeing the... actually, one prophet, Zephaniah, says there's a voice in the day. The unfoldings of the things that are taking place around us is his voice to those who have ears to hear. We see unrighteousness arising. We see the growing animosity and the coming lawlessness of the society around us. That's all part of his day. And in the middle of the night, as far as the world goes, God is bringing forth the sunrise of a new day. And you are part of a people that are being called in this hour to bear the light of him in a world that has gone completely dark. Augustine wrote in his book, City of God, he wrote in there, he said, if we today, at the peril of our lives, bear the testimony of Jesus, when the enemy has bounds put on him. You know, if you're reading the book of Job, Satan had to get permission from God to do something to Job. So the enemy was fully in recognition that his ability to do nasty things to Job was only by God's permission. And so those are things we need to remember in the days ahead. But Augustine said, if we today, at the peril of our lives, bear the testimony of Jesus when the enemy has limitations on what he can do, he said, oh, what manner of people are going to arise that will be able to stand in the day when he's fully released with no limitations to do evil. The saints of old, the Old Testament prophets, the early church, they saw the day we're in. And it is very important. It is one of the most foundational aspects of your own life is to know that God foreknew the day that's unfolding. And that his love for you is absolutely unshakable. And for you to comprehend that in the midst of the storms that are coming, he's got a word for you. He's got a ministration of life that will come to full completion as you submit your heart to Him. One of the definitions of disciple, it means an avid learner. It means it's somebody that is absolutely dedicated their lives to their master, to learn His ways, His wisdom, and to draw from Him the very life and power to live godly in Christ Jesus. The thing that's exciting for me is the call of God to each one of you is exciting for me to watch, because it is in the ordinary life that you live and the time you spend with Christ in your own personal heart, partaking of Him, drawing from Him, learning from Him, that His unfolding in and through you is taking place. And don't look around the church. Don't compare yourselves with what you see now. What does it say? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Don't look around at the dismal thing that men call ministry today. You look unto Him. Let Him determine the power and the wonder and the... He's going to shake the world with this last day church. He's going to shake the world with it. And in the revival we had in Lloydminster, we were having persecution. We were having parents calling us that were mad at us that their kids weren't drinking and partying like all their friends. Like, it was bizarre. And in the middle of all that, this girl had a dream one night, and she saw this young man standing on a street corner, and the anointing of God fell on him, and he started preaching the gospel right on the street corner. And as he was preaching in power, this crowd took a hold of him, threw him on the ground, and she saw someone with a sledgehammer hitting his back, and she said she could feel the bones breaking, and she said it was just traumatic. And she said when they got done, he was just this crumpled mess on the street corner, and the Spirit of God fell on him, and he jumped up and started preaching again. Totally healed, totally unaffected. That's your God. That's my God. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard what God will do through a people that are His. And that's really the purpose of ministry. The only real purpose of ministry is to cause you to seek Him with all your heart and to let Him be Lord of Lords and King of Kings in you. And I'm excited about that. So I said all that to embellish a little bit of going back to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Remember we said the book of Philippians is a book of attitudes. It's a book of more than just a mind attitude. It's a book of a heart attitude. It's the revelation of a heart that wants God more than anything else. So Paul says, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung. I'm all about, he says, I've got one thing, and that's my utter pursuit to apprehend in Christ the reason and the fullness of the purpose of why He's apprehended me. And that is part of the power of the whole Jeremiah truth. The truth of God revealed in Jeremiah is that God had, before he was born, God had purposed things for him. And Paul understood that. And there's people out there that have an understanding of predestination that is erroneous, it's wrong, and it produces a haughty and proudful spirit. And it says in the book of Revelation that, and we kind of covered that on the books of God that we covered earlier, was that God can write your name into the book of life and he can take your name out of the book of life. So the scripture says many are called. The Greek there would say many are elected, but few are selected. And so Peter says, 2 Peter, he says, wherefore, brethren, give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. So we have this incredible balance with God. We have this incredible comprehension of a call and a purpose that even when you were in the womb of your mother being formed, the DNA, the instruction set, and the personality, and there was a tremendous thought of God in you before you were. And all you need to do, like when you get a chance, read Psalm 139 in prayer. Read Psalm 139 and allow the love of God and the purposes of God to lay hold of your own heart. Like David said, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And creation is a process. And the life you live, the truths of all that God is communicating to you, on a daily level, you are ever becoming what you're called to as you allow God to work in you. So the truth of the sower, we've probably hit that almost all the time, but the seed falling into the soil and the fruitfulness of it is determined by the soil, not by the seed. And it's therefore incumbent, as we comprehend the love of God in Christ for you, we comprehend the necessity of us to respond to that love by loving him. Herein is love, the apostle says, not that we first loved God, but that he first loved us and gave himself for us that we might become all that he is in this world. And so 1 John, I don't know, I've read 1 John, I don't know, hundreds of times, but it wasn't until about 4 or 5 months ago a phrase stood out to me. I think it's 1 John 4:17. Maybe we'll read it. You got to let the height of what God has called us to. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. That leaves me speechless. As he is. So for us to be as he is, what is absolutely vital and necessary is that the only way we know what he is and as he is because of relationship. Because his heart is communicating to you And as you develop in the dynamic of God, you'll run across a situation, and you'll have, as you abide in Him, there will be a comprehension of what's going on in that person's life. And as you're abiding in Him, you're not going to be just reading a scripture to somebody. You're going to be giving the word of the Lord, because you're abiding in Him who knows all things. And this is the normal Christian life. This is the normal Christian life. The church at Corinth, an unbeliever would come into their midst, and one of them would stand up and prophesy the secrets of their heart. And Paul said that that church was carnal. There is a place where you got to let faith take you where God wants to take you. You can't let yourself not believe where God wants to take you. Faith will take you unerringly into the depths, the power, and the glory of God. Faith is the compass of God in your spirit and in your heart. And as you grow, and as you just in God, let His love become the impress of His will in you. Start trusting the love of God in you, and when that love is stirred, you step into the thing. It's the impulse of God. There's the word I'm looking for. Love is the impulse of all that Christ is. And as you allow your heart to be moved by love, He will take you places. He will reveal Himself to you in ways that is incomprehensible. And so the disciples are fishing in a place, and Jesus is standing on the shore, and He says to them, "Launch yourselves out into the deep." Where were they fishing? They're fishing along the shore. But the heart of God is going, "Go into the depths of Me. Because in the depths of Me, you will discover My depths in you." So one of my favorite scriptures is, it says, "Deep calleth unto deep." The deeper you go in God, the deeper His depths in Him will beckon you to greater depths in Him. So Romans says, herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto faith. So the faith you have now will never meet the needs of situations tomorrow. And that's by God's design. Faith unto faith. So what the measure of faith you have today is God's enablement to bring you into a deeper faith. And as you respond and allow God to bring you into the depths of Himself. So the faith, last illustration. Lord, man, this was a turning point in my own life. But the faith that enabled Peter to step out of the boat, I've mentioned this before, but I'll keep reminding everyone. The faith that got him out of the boat by God's design wasn't great enough to sustain the walk that it initiated. Because God wants to bring Peter into a deeper walk, a greater depth. And so faith is going to bring you, and it'll cause you to step into things, and you're like, "What have I got myself into?" And God goes, "You've gotten yourself into a deeper need for Me." So faith, will ever bring you into a greater dependency on God. But out of that greater dependency comes the greater works, comes the more dynamic, life-affecting flow of Him into the lives of all those around you. And that's what makes this thing so good. And so there's doors, you know. So John says in the book of Revelation, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I was really, really, what he thought, doing quite well. And God comes and says, come up higher. Oh. So John steps through that. He sees an open door. And then he's in a credible place. And God brings him up higher again into the very throne of God. So really begin to see your life as a journey into the very throne of God himself. And don't disqualify yourself from the awesome movings of God, because that's what he's purposed. And you know, like in your interaction with each other, let love be the foundation of our caring for one another. And we're going to kind of stay on the having the mind of Christ, that we didn't get to it today, but that whole thing, having the mind of Christ, is what is going to bring you into the works of Christ. You can't have the mind of Christ without doing the works of Christ. It's an impossibility. And so let God bring you in to the depths of his own being and to the depths of his own desire to reach the world around you, because you are walking and living and abiding in him, who is the answer to this world.